On this episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast, recorded Saturday, August 29th, 2020, we recap the Bears' season opening victory over Tipton, preview this week's opponent, and give our picks to click. All that and more coming right up. It is week number two this coming week. That means we had a football game to talk about, and we're going to do that on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here at westbranchfootball.com.
That's Matt Shenander. Stephen Grace is in the background. I'm sure you're doing something crazy inside the ice cream shop right now.
I'm trying to make sure I've got enough room to do my jumping jacks while we're working out down here. So
fantastic. I'm Jason Miller, and we appreciate all you listening in. All 75,000 every week we get. We appreciate every single one of you. But what we do appreciate more is having high school football to talk about. An actual football game, guys. And there was one on Friday night in West Branch, game one of the 2020 season. We don't know how many more there'll be. We're going to take it one game, 1 week at a time. And for this week, it's good news for West Branch fans. Final score, West Branch 17, Tipton 8. What do you guys think?
Probably very close to what I expected going in, just in terms of a very physical football game. It was grinded out, just a lot of, you know, hard yards to come by, little bit lower scoring. I just figured, you know, both teams with so many new faces that we had alluded to last week, just a variety of things there. And so kind of like I thought, I figured in the end, I was hoping that we could pull out, you know, about a, you know, 7 to 10 point type victory, but I knew it was going to be low scoring. I knew it was going to be neck and neck, and, you know, Tipton, a couple of opportunities. They caught some big plays there. Our defense was able to step up in some other situations. And, you know, when it was all said and done, it was a 9 point win for the Bears.
Friday night was, like we talked about last week, just a lot of fresh faces, a lot of physical play. Low scoring, that type of thing, you know, what you said, Stephen. But, you know, kind of the thing for West Branch, and I think I'll attribute this to, you know, first game of the year, first time, you know, that a lot of these guys, you know, obviously, I think it was about 17 new starters. A lot of these guys playing together, at least in varsity, you know, it kind of showed. And somewhat that's expected for the first game of the season. And the Bears really had some trouble, at least on offense, sustaining drives. And, you know, it seems like they'd 20 yards forward and then move 5 yards back, 5 yards back due to like losses or penalties like that. You know, they'd really just had a hard time putting things together and putting together some long scoring drives. But when they were able to move the ball, you know, you could really see some potential that this team has, especially really at, you know, every position is a skill position, but as it's generally referred to, the skill positions, you know, with Andy Henson at running back, you know, the Belk brothers there, Simon Palmer getting in there, you know, Gavin looked real crisp throwing the ball too. But man, credit to Tipton, their offense and defensive lines were just very physical. They were just giving us fits all night, you know, both on defense and on offense, and it's really just a chess match all night, just kind of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then when one team had the opportunity to do something, they did it. And, you know, Bears forcing three turnovers on defense really helps.
That's the key stat I think we're looking at. I said that's three times, so you know I really wanted to emphasize it. 17-8 the final. Scoring was spread out, and I know you'll get to that scoring breakdown here soon, Matt. But you talked about the turnovers. West Branch created three. How many turnovers did West Branch have in the first game of the football season with a brand new team?
Zero. It's pretty good.
Zero. That is pretty solid, which offsets. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have some have penalties in the first game. You're going to have them all season, but you're probably going to have more, hopefully, at the beginning than you do at the end. But when you have zero turnovers in a football game, first of all, you probably go in. And secondly, to do that in the first game of a season with a bunch of new faces and new places, that, my friends, is something you can hang your hat on, not just in a strong defensive performance, not just on, Matt will get into some stats later, but he'll talk really glowingly probably when he gets to Gavin Hirschman's line. But all those things combined, man, those little things besides the turnovers, fantastic, fantastic.
Well, and I think, you know, in addition to that, even when, you know, Matt, you talked about, and I'm thinking there was one series where I think first down might have been right before halftime. You know, we had a nice big 20-yard pass play to Simon down the middle of the field, and then we get down there, and then I think Gavin got sacked, or we had a penalty, or, you know, suddenly we go from a 20-yard gain, and then we're looking at second or third and about 20 just to move the sticks again. But, you know, there's times where when you have those little hiccups, it can sometimes start to mount or wear you down mentally. And, you know, it seemed like the guys were able to shake that off and say, you know what, let's get out there on the defensive side. Let's, you know, we'll get a stop. Let's get the offense back out and give them a chance to really start to churn a little bit more. And so, you know, I think that says a lot too about just the mental attitude, the mental toughness of this squad is, you know, even when things didn't go exactly like they wanted to, they were able to buckle down and pick things up in a different phase of the game.
For sure.
You look at the stats, Matt. How about we just jump in to give us the breakdown of the scoring, and we'll jump into the stat comparison right after that.
Sure, yeah. So pretty quick on the scoring end, you know, Jason, that you said 17-8. But the Bears pulled ahead in the first quarter on a 37-yard field goal from Cale Federline. Tipped in, then took the lead in the first quarter as well on a touchdown into the south end zone. And they got the two-point conversion, so that got them to their 8 points. After that, the West Branch defense held them scoreless. As far as the West Branch offense goes in the second quarter, Gavin Hirschman finds Simon Palmer in the northeast corner of the Little Rose Bowl. Beautiful pass, just floated right up into the perfect spot to where only Simon could catch it. Helps that Simon's 6'4", but still a fantastic pass nonetheless. And Cale Federline hits the extra point there to go up 10-8. And then in the fourth quarter, Gavin Hirschman finds Carver Belk, just a little seam route right up the middle of the field into the south end zone. Gavin finds him, puts it in a perfect spot for a 17-yard touchdown to number 17. And then Fed's extra point was good, so 17-8, and that's where we ended up. As far as the stats go, Gavin Hirschman, he was 23 of 32 for 222 yards. That's a lot of twos and two touchdowns. You know, the funny thing about that is, like, that was very quiet. You know, it just seemed like I looked at that stat after the game. I'm like, wow, he really got up to 220 yards.
And really quickly, Matt, in that, you said 23 of 32. I guess if you want to say official pass attempts downfield, he was 23 of 28 because that wonderful and pressuring defense of Tipton that Steven referred to made it push him out of the pocket. He had to throw away the ball four times just to keep the original line of scrimmage.
Well, and that's great for him that he can do that. You know, you don't really see that a lot from high school quarterbacks having the sense of when they're being pressured and when it's a good time to go ahead and throw it away versus trying to extend the play. So good on Gavin for being that mature, really, at that position. Andy Henson, 18 carries for 69 yards. Peyton Miller, receiver, 9 receptions for 105 yards. Simon Palmer, tight end, 4 receptions for 49 yards and 1 touchdown. And Carver Belk, 4 receptions for 37 yards and 1 touchdown. On the defensive side of the ball, Cale Federline, 8.5 tackles. Jack Buell got in there with 2 sacks. Jeff Bowie in there with half of a sack, but 3 tackles for losses. Andy Henson, 4.5 tackles. Carver Belk had an interception. Kinnick Belk had a fumble recovery. And Morgan Hartz also had a fumble recovery. And then on the special teams end, Cale Federline, 1-for-1 on the field goals and 2-for-2 on PATs. So good transfer there in special teams from Sexton to Berger and then off of Cale's foot.
How about we wrap this up and put it under the tree? I wanted to bring it out just one more time. Everybody kind of give me what you thought maybe a key play or a key stat was from this game that gave the Bears a leg up.
I think I'm just looking at, you know, like I'd mentioned earlier, being able to overcome, but just the way that when the Bears scored, we were able to really chew up some clock, chew up some time, and keep Tipton from getting into any sort of a rhythm. I mean, that's such a timing-based offense, and, you know, we always say there's so many moving parts, so much going on, and that, you know, takes a variety of things to work. And, you know, the Bears' first scoring drive, 10 plays, they took probably about 6 minutes off the clock. Their second scoring drive, after Tipton took the lead, took almost 9 minutes off the clock on a 15-play drive. And then in that second half, you know, 6, 7, 4, 5 plays, you know, resulted in punts on the first three and then a touchdown. But again, just keeping that ball away and not letting that Tipton offense get some of that rhythm going that they wanted to. So I think just the fact that the defense was able to step up and make the stops and the offense was able to hold on to the ball and, you know, really control the pace of how that game went.
Yeah, I think the big thing for West Branch was just the plethora of options that Gavin Hirschman had at his disposal. And he used all of them. I think, Steven, I heard you at one point during the Bearcast, he hit 5 or 6 different receivers.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 6 different receivers.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
And he'd actually completed to all 6 of them in the first half.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's something that you, like, that's such a good thing to have on a football team, is the ability to spread it out that much, because that really, like, keeps defenses on their toes. And, you know, if you have, you know, at some point 4 wide, 5 wide, who are you going to cover?
I was thinking, you know, we actually watched, I saw the highlight of the touchdown pass to Belk, and it was such a good play design because, you know, they had motioned Henson over and we'd thrown that out to him a couple of times, and you saw the D-back slide up because he had flat responsibility. You had, I think Caleb was running an out route, and so a backer was there. The safety was looking elsewhere, and that freed Belk up to get right into the seam. And like you said, Matt, I mean, it was a perfect throw from Gavin right between the two defenders, but it was just enough of, we don't know which guy to cover here, that it made that opening for somebody to get into the end zone.
He had to make a choice on which he wanted, and it was going to be tough to cover either one. And luckily for West Branch, he left open the guy in the end zone, and Gavin made a great back shoulder throw to evade the safety on that play.
What about you, Jason? What's your one takeaway?
I have two, but I got to cut it to one. One is, when I looked at the stats, I really wanted to see what the third down conversion percentage was for West Branch. Mm. It seemed like it was high. And for me, if you convert 50% or above when the chips are down, when you need to sustain drives with a brand new team, new places, new phases, new season, they were 8 out of 16 on third down, within third down efficiency. 50% of the times the Bears faced a third down, they converted.
And a lot of those third downs were third and long too, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were. And you look at, and conversely to Tipton, 2 of 11. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 50% to 18%. Now Tipton, on the other hand, had 2 of 3 on fourth down, one being a touchdown pass at the beginning of the second quarter, and then another one, a 4th and 25 conversion half towards the end of the fourth quarter. But other than that, that was one thing I really thought, for a younger team, a new team, when they're put into the face of adversity on an offense, they converted at a high rate and kept drives sustained to eat away clock and put points on the board.
5 seconds or less, what was your second one? I'm just curious.
The offensive line towards the end of the game, they're pushed forward.
Yeah.
There you go. Amen.
One thing before we move on, Peyton Elijah, holy cow. I mean, we knew that he was an athlete.
Did I mention he's an athlete?
Oh my goodness. That
never heard that last name before?
Jeepers.
I said it before. His uncle, I know, Mike, but honestly, one of the best athletes I've ever seen.
My goodness. He's got an arm. He's got some speed. Leg too, the punts
fairly
that
decent
he
punter.
Had.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Just a 70-yard punt. No big deal.
No big deal. Well, 50 net, but.
Net 50, yeah. but still. Yeah, pretty impressive. Wild. We all wish the best of those guys, man, going forward.
Well, and I think one last thing too. At the end of the game, you know, a lot the teams can't go through the handshake line in this year, but I thought it was kind of neat how they all kind of gave their best wishes and, hey, good game at the end of the game. There is kind of a neat way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys,
it's like
that.
They put the show down at the OK Corral. They lined it up and they said, you know what, guys?
Yep.
Nice battle.
Mm-hmm.
Best wishes. Mm-hmm. I saw that too. That was, I mean, and I hope a lot of teams around the state are doing that. But I mean, for where we saw last night, that was neat because it is a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to both teams, not just because it's a football game, guys, but I know talking with, I had the chance to talk to Lake Anderson on the football field after the game at length. And his father, of course, we talked about it. Kirk played on a state championship team for West Branch in 1992. I can't just say 92. Could be 18. You never know.
And 2092.
And he was just emotional and a very true, passionate kid that this game means so much to him. Not just because I think that connection with his family to West Branch, but because it's just been so long since Tipton has beaten West Branch and they want to get over that hump. They're right there. They've got kids and they've got a lot of talent. They run a fun system and they've got size. They're going to do some big things, as I could say it. Well, this next week, they got to play Mount Pleasant. Speaking of big, they've got an offensive lineman that, I hear he's going to be a Division I football player. And they beat Clear Creek last night, who had all these kids transfer into their school, two or three Division I football players. And they beat them last night. Mount Pleasant beat Clear Creek. So it's going to be a tough road for Tipton next week, but they've got the horses up front and the system to do it, I think, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. West Branch 17-8, right? Before we move on to our Picks to Click review and our West Liberty preview, let's hear from Fidelity Bank and Trust.
Get in the game with the mobile app from Fidelity Bank and Trust. Do your banking during the game without missing a play. Learn more at bankfidelity.bank. Fidelity Bank and Trust, your hometown bank and proud supporter of the West Branch Bears. Member FDIC.
Picks the Click from week one, Matt and Steven. A little bit of review on what that is and who we chose, Matt.
Yeah, Steven had Kenneth Belk. Jason, you had Peyton Miller. And I had Brady Hunger.
Now, unfair
to Brady.
I picked
the wrong brother.
No, you didn't.
No.
You really didn't. You picked a kid that played a pretty good football game.
Yeah, he did.
All the Bears played a pretty good football game.
They all won. So, I mean, that's all you want. Mm-hmm. In the end, you want the Bears to win, and they won.
I mean, just by looking at stats, you know, if we had to give it to somebody here, I think Jason pretty clearly won this one.
Well, I'll say it like this. I guess if I could have given a third key play, but really I wouldn't have. Kenneth Belk's one catch, he took a shot immediately after catching that football, held on to it.
That was a fantastic catch.
On a third down conversion.
There you go.
It's like everything converges into one big theme in the end.
Yeah, who was talking third down conversions? And I don't even remember, whatever. But anyway, that fantastic catch, and he just played a whale of a ball game. Now, if they would have switched their jerseys, it wouldn't have mattered. They both played pretty good. He and his brother Carver. So
yeah,
I know that Peyton Miller was the polar bear player of the game, and you know I chose him, but that doesn't matter. The polar bear of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. But either way,
Main Street Sweets.
Who are they, Matt? Who is that? I don't even know. At this point,
sounds like somebody's getting some free advertising here.
Yeah.
This segment brought to you by
WestBranchFootball.com.
There you go. That works.
Okay.
West Liberty.
The West Liberty Comets. Time-honored tradition in the fall in Eastern Iowa. Football. Football in West Branch. Football in West Liberty. And playing football against one another. Through the years, there have been some wonderful battles. I can remember a 1987 football game. A Brad Hahn field goal here, a Brad Hahn field goal there, a very low-scoring football game. The Comets prevailed. I can remember in 1990, a loss in the first game of the season was the only loss West Branch had until they got to the semifinals. Same scenario in 2000 and, I got to think this back here, 2003, West Branch lost the first game of the season, ended up going to the semifinals and losing the Dome that year. That was the last time West Liberty defeated West Branch. Here we are in 2020. We're still talking about a rivalry that goes back, Stephen, 90 to 100 years?
Oh, yeah. Used to be the old Armistice Day. Used to play that in November, last game of the year. Didn't matter what day of the week it was, they played it. And no love loss between these two communities or schools or football teams.
No. And Matt, just for fun for you, where did they used to play their high school football games? way back when, before they moved to Maxon Street or whatever. I think it's Maxon Street there.
Oh, maybe at the current location of the West Liberty Raceway?
The old West Liberty Raceway, the tip, the fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds, high school,
yep, used to be played in West Liberty. Hello, Comets. Hello, Jerry. But this year, the game's going to be played at the current venue, which has been the current venue for 40, 50 years, near the City Park in West Liberty. Same old game, same old rivalry, same old two teams who won their first games last week. Both teams made the playoffs last year. Both teams looking for something to prove in 2020. Steven, when you look at these teams, you look on paper, you look and see some stats for both teams, but you remember players from last year that are coming back for the Comets. What strikes you as jumping off the page, per se?
Well, just looking, I mean, on paper, obviously they're not going to be quite as big as Tipton was, but still pretty good-sized offensive line. Watching a little bit of film on them, they're still going to be physical, as we've seen. If you want to talk about a couple of key players, obviously everybody thinks of Kobe Simon right away. Oh, phenomenal wrestler.
Yeah.
And, you know, looks like a guy that could play offensive line, but he's such an athlete that they put him at tight end. They actually put him at fullback a little bit. He had two rushing touchdowns on Friday night. And then Lake Newton, pretty good receiver. Stats-wise, looks like he was kept a little bit in check in their game against Mediapolis. But still, he's one of those guys that, you know, a lot of times you're going to see a little bit of extra eyes looking his way because he's such a talent. And then the one that I was curious to see how he fit in, a guy that we saw put on the afterburners on a kickoff return last year, I think it was, Josiah Galvan. And they put him back at running back this year, and I can see why. I think he had 244 yards rushing, had an 80-yard touchdown, and he's one of those guys that he is a sprinter. He is fast, and sometimes you'll see those guys that, yeah, you put him at running back just to try to get him ahead of steam and go and, you know, hope that you can just open up a big hole. But, you know, just seeing him a little bit, that's not the case with him. He's a guy that he's not afraid to lower the shoulder. He's not afraid to look for the contact, turn it up. You know, he's got good vision and good speed, but he's going to get those grind them out in between the tackles type yards too. So, yeah, I think, you know, those are the ones that really jump out. It's just some of the keys, but they've got some younger guys coming up as well too. I mean, their leading receiver is a sophomore. They've got a junior playing quarterback. So, there's going to be some unknowns still, but, you know, they found a way to dig deep and get the victory against Meepo last week, and, you know, they're going to be ready to go here coming up this weekend.
Every name that you mentioned right there would have been the ones that I would have said. I mean, because they are named, three of them, specifically the first three you said, have been there. They've been at the high level, the varsity level, for at least a year or two. Kobe Simon is an athlete. Yeah, and he's a fairly decent wrestler. Of course, you're going to bring that up. I would have brought it up as well. His sophomore year, he was an offensive lineman on a team that got to the Dome for West Liberty. Very integral part of that team, both offensively and defensively. Last year, we saw him move over to tight end, which was, when I saw we got there, was kind of a surprise, but it worked out. He's always going to do his thing on defense, but on offense, boy, given the ball, it's going to be tough to stop him for less than 2 or 3 yards. And as what'd you say, Jeff Art, football math is what?
Lineman math is 4 + 4 + 4 equals a first down.
That's right. 4 yards a carry, it's a first down. But Josiah Galvan, there was no doubt that he was going to be the number one ball carrier, the bell cow per se, with his speed and his elusiveness. If he gets outside, forget it. The Jets are on, and you're going to watch it. You're going to be in his wake. It's over. Saw that last year, as you mentioned, on a special teams play. Now he's moved on to be their lead ball carrier, and he's dangerous. He's one of you got to hold him, make him run sideways. That's going to be a big key for that West Branch defense. Keep him running parallel to the line of scrimmage, and you might be able to limit him.
Yeah, you really got to contain him. Just looking at their game against Mediapolis, another thing that kind of jumped out at me was, you know, it was a defensive struggle. I mean, Galvan had that long touchdown run, I think, in the first half. And otherwise, there was, you know, just kind of similar to our game where it was just chipping back and forth and, you know, just trying to get some yards here and there. And West Liberty was actually down I don't know exactly, not seeing the time on the clock, but probably less than 6 minutes to go in the game. And, you know, they're forced to punt. They kick it away, you know, from inside their own 20. Mediapolis gets the ball close to midfield. And you're thinking, okay, you know, they're going to chew up some more clock and, you know, just play the field position game. And then that West Liberty defense steps up. Somebody forces a fumble on the quarterback. And, you know, West Liberty gets it back at the 30-yard line. They drive down and score. And then the ensuing kickoff is just a low roller rolling around down there, if I could talk here. And, you know, nobody from Meepo could get to it. West Liberty gets on it. They add another late touchdown. And, you know, in the course of about 3 minutes, you go from not looking good, trailing by four, to all of a sudden you're going to win the game by 10 points. So, again, you talk about that mental toughness and just being able to not let things get you down. And obviously, Coach Iskey's got these guys, you know, prepared mentally, and they were able to find a way to dig deep and get what they needed to be able to get the win on last Friday.
Right. And you looking at some stats of Mediapolis, just looking at yards per catch and yards per carry, 11.8 yards per completion for Mediapolis on Friday night, 4.7 yards per carry. So again, there's that line of 4.7 yards. If you were to get that twice, you're basically a first down. But those things were so, when you see those stats, you can hear, much like you, I read in a newspaper or I was seeing texts throughout the night, their big plays were very spread out. Mm-hmm. As we've seen the last 2 years, Stephen and Matt here as well, West Liberty hung their hat the last couple years on that very, very stout defense. And you can see on Friday night, gave up 254 yards, but they were spread out throughout very well. I mean, there was one big play for Meepo, but other than that, it was very spread out, meaning they weren't giving up the big plays. That Norm Parker, bend but don't break, fits this mold right there. But we all know Coach Iskey's looking forward to this game down at West Liberty. Assistant coach Gus Garcia has this one circled on his calendar as well. Been there a long time, a wonderful assistant coach for the Comets for many, many years. A lot of great people down there helping their teams out. This is a great rivalry, Stephen and Matt. And I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more about it as we go in the next 3 or 4 minutes. But before that, who's our next sponsor, Matt?
That is Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants. Let's hear from them.
Choose a realtor who knows the territory. Ken and Helen Fawcett of Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants are licensed agents with customer satisfaction being their number one priority. If you're buying or selling a home or property in the West Branch or surrounding area, they can help. Your hometown real estate company with an office in downtown West Branch, Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants. Call them at 643-3344 or log on to janshome.com.
Well, we've given names, we've given places, we've given faces and new spaces, and we're getting a new space next week in West Liberty. And I think the keys to this game, guys, are going to be the continued growth from the quarterbacks, from the quarterback of West Branch to the wide receivers, to that continued growth, and the continued growth of seeing that offensive line gel. What's the old adage from game one to game two, Stephen?
This is where you see your biggest improvement.
And we hope to see that next Friday. Well, speaking of big improvements, I don't know what else to lead into it like this, but we got to see bigger improvements from perhaps Matt and Steven in the Picks to Click segment. No, we all won because we picked Bears. But I get first
pick. You feel
pick
that, Matt? Week. He's just dogging us today.
Maybe I should pick a comment this week.
If he wasn't the polar bear of the game, there wouldn't be any talk at all. But since he was the polar bear of the game, a little bit of smack. But the Bears won, and that's the most important thing. For week two, my pick to click, I'm going to go off-grid a little bit and say Cash Woody.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised he wasn't more involved on the offense Friday night. Kind of expected to see him a little bit more, but with how many weapons the offense has, you know, there's going to be one night where somebody potentially doesn't get the ball.
Yeah, I think with the amount of receivers that you saw, you chronicled it, both of you. Six guys touched the football from had a reception, and not one of them was Cash Woody. And he's a talent. He's got some talent. He's got speed. He's played well for his first 2, 3, 4 years of football. But defensively, I think, is where we're going to see his strong, where he what may stand out. Mm-hmm. Matt, I guess you're next.
I am. I'm going to go Jack Buell.
Yeah. Got his first tackle for loss as a varsity football player.
Yeah, I liked the stuff that he did Friday night. He was right there, you know, had his 2 sacks, and I think he'll improve on that play from his end position.
I'm going to go the same way Matt is. I'm going to go on the defensive side of things just because I think that's really going to be a key, is slowing down Galvan in particular. I'm going to go with Cole Bailey, though. I'm going to go with the junior linebacker, and I think he's going to be somebody that is going to find a way to really get some seams. And you never know. Could be something where running in that fullback spot every now and again, maybe they'll just hand it off to him for a touchdown. Just saying. Okay.
West Liberty's fullback scored twice last week. Why not West Branch's once? And with that hair, you might see some very special celebrations. You never know. Well, that wraps up the Pick to Click segment for this week, guys. As we get to wrapping up this segment, this podcast for this week, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about all of the wonderful sponsors we have to make not just the podcast possible, but more importantly, everything on westbranchfootball.com, including Friday night's Bearcast with Stephen, Mike, and Sideline Jerry.
The Talking Bear Football Podcast for the 2020 season is presented by Barnhart's Custom Services, Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants, Corridor Drywall, EMS Detergent Services, the Fullwider Insurance Agency, Hodge Construction, the Hoover Presidential Foundation, Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, Marcy Willier with Urban Acres Real Estate, Touched by Power, and the West Branch Times.
That's a recording. The next recording we should do, Matt, I think it's the next thing in line to go ahead and put this in the can, is have Stephen try to get through all of the social media spots here with no mistakes. I think maybe this is the week. Stephen, where can you find the Bears on the internet as far as social media? Go, no pressure.
You have to turn on your computer and click on, yep. Oh wait.
Turn on the computer, yep.
Twitter, @ WB Bears Football. Instagram, I almost forgot that one, but that's the best one, @ WB Bears Football.
They let a gram. Yeah.
You can go to Facebook and just type in the search little bar there and say West Branch Football. You can also go to our YouTube channel, search West Branch Football. And of course, Matt, I'm learning more about this. I've started to find one or two podcasts that I'm looking for. You can actually subscribe and listen to the Talking Bear Football Podcast, get notified as soon as it comes out. Do that in whatever your podcast player of choice is, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is, just search for Talking Bear Football and then like us or follow us or whatever and get your notifications.
Making me proud.
Mic drop, boom.
Wow. And I'm glad you brought up the Instagram because it's all for the gram. It's all for the gram. Yep. That's what they say. Guys, Bears 1-0. Love to talk about, love talking on the podcast after a victory. I love talking, just talking with you guys, period, makes my day go better. I don't know about the listener out there, but sure does me. But West Branch gets a victory. With all those fresh faces and fresh places, that is one of the bigger takeaways, is just to see how these guys stepped up. Now, from week 1 to week 2, Stephen, what is it again?
Biggest improvement of the year.
Between week 1 and week 2. And let's hope that happens on Friday night at West Liberty. Game time, 7 p.m. Matt, I believe we're going to kick off the pregame at 6:30 on westbranchfootball.com.
That's correct. The Bearcast.
The Bearcast at 6:30. Well, and you've been listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
We ask you to take care, everyone.